Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Do you have a Bible question or something you'd like to talk about on today's edition? Let's hear about it right now at 844-322-2742, whether in the U.S. or Canada. That's a toll-free number, of course, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Guys, sometimes, you know, we talk about theology, we talk about doctrine, and we forget that really the story is about Jesus.
Yes.
And how he changes us and how he saves us and how he comes to live inside of us and how our life is hidden in him and he is our very life. And so today I just wanted to read a passage that where Jesus calls his first disciples and just kind of talk about the presence of the Lord himself and just how powerful he really is. So while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And you just have to think about this story. What about Jesus? What about his personality? What about his voice that when he spoke, these guys left everything? And it's interesting that word left is the word also translated in the New Testament, forgiveness. So when Jesus forgives us, it means our sins have left us,
yeah,
and we're standing in the righteousness of God. Well, here it's they left their old way of life to follow Jesus himself. There was something so almost magical about that moment, mesmerizing, that they just said, "I don't know who this guy is. I don't know what he's offering. But man, there's something about him. I've got to know who he is." And I think we've lost that mystery concerning Jesus. And I just wanted to talk about it today, just the person of Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love the imagery you gave there, Bob, with the boat. I mean, it's beautiful to think about your sins being gone out to sea. You know, as far as the east is from the west, he's taken our sins away. And, you know, when you think about this boat analogy or this picture of the boat, leaving the boat, leaving your sins behind, and then that boat drifting out to sea and never returning, and being gone forever. And Jesus puts it this way, you know, as far as the east is from the west, you can't really navigate that one. You're going to end up with going no place because your sins are gone. They're forgiven. They're forgotten. And, you know, I love what you're saying about how attractive Jesus is to those who are really seeking. You know, we're recognizing I've got a hole in my heart. I've got a desperate need for life. I'm dead inside. And Jesus is the only one who can fulfill that void and fill that need. And so to a person who's honestly seeking, like these men were, Jesus is so attractive. To those who are prideful and obstinate and stiff-necked, Jesus is repulsive. He, you know, it's too humbling to come to him. But for those of us who have decided that we need life, well, Jesus is attractive. And in fact, he is known as the sweet aroma of Christ. And so, you know, I love that we're talking about how beautiful the Lord is, how beautiful the Lord Jesus Christ is in all that he is to us, in his character, in the fact that we could trust him, in his goodness. And, you know, he's got the market cornered on graciousness and kindness and forgiveness. And if we want to experience any of that, it's not going to come through, you know, just sort of empty doctrine. It's not that the new covenant is some sort of computerized doctrine or information here. The new covenant is all about the priest, the high priest of the new covenant. That's Jesus, and he is awesome.
Yes, he is. And here's the exciting part. You know, those guys, we sometimes read these stories and think, wow, they were so privileged to be able to be with Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to touch Jesus, to, you know, have meals together with Jesus. And sometimes we look back at their stories and think, oh, if I could have had that. And but here's the reality. How much better do we have it today than what they had in following Jesus those 3 years? The very fact that Jesus Christ himself has come to live inside of us, and there's a spiritual union. And that really is the central piece of this gospel message as far as we're concerned. We get to be with this Jesus, this mesmerizing, beautiful, life-giving Jesus every single moment of the day. Christ in us is our hope of glory. He is with us through thick and thin. He's loving us every single moment of the day. And there's such a powerful personal touch with him that it causes us to, you know, look into this world and just see it as strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's this Jesus. And every single one of us who know him, who believe in him, have him living inside of us. That's what this gospel message is all about.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me. We're glad you're here. If you'd like to join the broadcast, join the conversation, we want you to do just exactly that. You can call right now, 844-322-2742, U.S. or Canada good, 844-322-2742. And friends, as we've noted in the last several weeks, this month we reached the end of yet another fiscal year, and Andrew, as a member of the board of directors, you know, you have your own ministry, and you have been very, very generous and adding a lot of humor as well as we've gone forth, as we move forward, as I say. And we appreciate so much your part in this. You have your own ministry going, and but tell us what it means to be so closely connected to Basic Gospel and why you feel it's necessary as we move forward for our listeners to give to support this Basic Gospel message.
Well, I just come back again and again, Bob, to the uniqueness of what Basic Gospel is doing. I mean, Basic Gospel is one of the few out there on the Christian airwaves that is consistently targeting the cross and the resurrection and the meaning of what Jesus did through the cross and through the resurrection, and just coming back to that over and over and over as the foundation. Basic Gospel is not teaching five principles or six steps or 10 ways to do this or that or the other. Instead, you know, here at Basic Gospel, we're all about pointing people to a true, genuine, meaningful dependency on Jesus Christ. And so if that's what you're about, if that's what you want to see promoted, if that's what you want even more people around the world to hear, then support Basic Gospel. Become a regular partner with us, whether it's a one-time gift for this year end or becoming a regular monthly partner with us. It would mean the world to us for you to come alongside of us, partner with us, and help us get this message out. It's the most important message on the planet. And so, you know, that's why I love to be a part of Basic Gospel.
Well, that's a very good reason, Andrew. Thank you, and we're glad that you are. Friends, we want to remind you that this is the end of this month, marks the end of our fiscal year, and we need to get not only to meet our budget, but we need to get across that goal line and go far beyond so that we can spread this message far and wide, as Andrew was saying. You can make your gift by going to basicgospel.net. Just click the Donate tab there, or you can phone 844-322-2742. In Canada, donate at basicgospel.net/Canada or on PayPal. That's the best way internationally to give. But we encourage you, whatever means you choose, that's going to be a great way to support this ministry, this message of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. So come on, friends, and be a part of it, and let's meet that budget and far exceed it. Well, again, 844-322-2742. Lines are wide open right now. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, guys, a very interesting question from Steve, who writes to us from West Palm Beach, Florida. He says, being brought up Jewish, my Hebrew teachers never taught me about Jesus. Like the prodigal son, I wanted my freedom, so I started drinking and drugging. 16 years later, I was yelling within myself for help.
something very strange happened because God touched me and took away all the fear and desperation. I knew something had happened. I started doing New Testament Bible studies to prove it wrong. After a year and a half of study, God revealed Jesus as the Messiah living inside me and made God tangible and the truth. I can relate to the skeptical Jew you spoke of earlier. Only God can reveal himself to you. Reading doesn't do what a personal relationship does. I was brought up with the word that kills, but the Spirit gives life. Why the Jew doesn't understand Jesus as the Lamb of God still amazes me. He is such a gift, I think I'm the only believer in my family. Well, again, that's from Steve in West Palm Beach, and as the only one in his family, that's a tough place to be.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and he's really fitting into what we just talked about, that he looked at Jesus, he encountered Jesus, and he saw in Jesus something that was so powerful, that was so motivating, that he left all to receive him, to trust him, to walk in dependence upon him, and he was made alive, and Christ came to live inside of him. And I love Steve's heart. He certainly wants his family and his fellow Jews to come to Christ. And that's exactly what Paul wanted as well. Yes. I mean, he said he would give up his own salvation if it meant salvation would go just full storm to all Jewish people. And I think when you really come to grips with Jesus being kind of the end of that story, you know, is what all of Judaism points to, then you want everyone else to know that final chapter and to really experience that new life. So I really appreciate his words. And, you know, I heard a pastor say that a real Jew would be a Christian, because if they really understood that Moses was writing about Jesus, that all of the prophets and all of the law all points to Jesus, then in encountering Jesus, they would accept him for who he is. And I think that's a true statement, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, guys, it's just a beautiful thing to go back through the Old Testament and to see so many indicators, road marks, just things along the way that say, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, and this is what it's going to be like, and this is going to be his death, and this is going to be his life, and this is going to be his ministry. And then to see him come and to recognize that it is the fulfillment of thousands of years. You know, whenever we talk about the Bible just not being your average book like Moby Dick or Don Quixote or a big piece of literature that people respect and revere, why is the Bible so different? Well, you think about these, you know, these books of the Bible that have been written on various continents over thousands of years, dozens of authors, and yet there's this cohesive message. And if you want to know what the cohesive message is, it is Jesus. Jesus is life. Jesus was predicted. Jesus came. Jesus rescues. There's an offer on the table. That offer involves resurrection, life for us, and forgiveness for us. And when we see the Bible as that, even the book of Revelation, we get clarity about that. It is not about a bunch of numbers and a bunch of sort of a timeline that we have to draw, as much as it is all about Jesus again, the rescuer, Jesus Christ. So from Genesis to Revelation, you know, it's not about the book, it's about the author of the book. And when we wrap our minds around that truth and getting to know him, how exciting it is to study the Word of God.
Indeed. Yes, indeed.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open. We'd like for you to join the conversation. 844-322-2742. And friends, we have a wonderful, a fabulous tour coming up to the Holy Land in May, June of next year. And we want you to be a part of it. Registrations are already taking place. Click the banner at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net, to get all the information. We'd love to see you on that fabulous trip. Well, guys, as a matter of fact, Andrew, this is a question that you answered this past week, and I borrowed it because I thought it was very relevant. This writer asks, if the Holy Spirit already lives within us, then why do we hear so many believers, especially during church, ask for the Holy Spirit to come down and be in this place, or to fall fresh on us, or to rain down on us?
Yeah, what a great question. How many times have we been in church somewhere, whether visiting or our regular congregation, and the worship leader is begging and pleading and the strumming on the guitar and the music is going and the lights are flashing, and the request is, Holy Spirit, come be in this place, fall fresh on us, rain down on us. And yet, when we look at the New Testament, the gospel message is the opposite of that. There's no more begging, there's no more pleading, there's no more hoping, there's no more waiting. We are complete in Jesus Christ. We have everything we need for life and godliness. We are one spirit with the Lord, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. So, you know, we don't have to wait for a new portion. We don't have to wait for a second blessing. And, you know, the only reason that Jesus says, hey, when two or more are gathered, there I am among you, is because if he lives in you already and he lives in me already and we get together at a local coffee shop, well, there he is with us and among us because he lives in both of us. So, you know, it's Old Testament philosophy, it's Old Testament mentality to think that God is going to dwell in a temple made with human hands. And when we're in that church service on Sunday morning, it is not about brick and mortar. It is about understanding that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we personally are the house of God. He, as I often say, guys, he has cleaned house, he's moved in, and that is a permanent residence that he has taken up inside of us. So the good news is, if you're in Christ, well, then Christ is in you, and you can't add to that, and you don't need to do any begging or pleading or waiting for more of the Spirit. We have everything we need for life and godliness, and certainly that includes the Spirit of Christ within us.
Andrew, do you think so often when we pray or sing those songs and pray those prayers about Holy Spirit come down, that one, it's error, it's not truth. But do you think we're doing that because we're looking for a feeling? We're looking for that just overwhelming feeling that he's here with us. I knew as a high school kid when I went to church and there was really an emotionally moving service. You know, I could feel something, and I like that feeling. And, you know, oftentimes I would look up at the cross at the front of the sanctuary and think, oh my gosh, his presence is so real. He may just come right through that cross and be here with us. And wow. And I love that feeling, but it would go away. It would go away very quickly. And so I would want it back. But we have to go on truth, not feelings. Because we can get messed up with those feelings, can't we?
Yeah, imagine, you know, there you are 23 minutes later and you're in the parking lot after that service and you're like, God, where are you now?
And, well, I was. I was.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the problem. It's wonderful that we have a soul, that we have mind, will, and emotions, that our emotions were created for us to experience. And yes, we can be in a church building and we can be singing our favorite hymn or our favorite worship song, and the emotions are, we're on a high and we're feeling a 10 out of 10. And then lo and behold, the kids are screaming in the back seat on the way home. And then we're feeling nothing. In fact, we start feeling negative, and then we're wondering, where is that powerful presence of God? Well, the good news is, God is not in a song. God lives in you. Christ is not found through the lyrics of a song or someone strumming on a guitar. Christ is found in you. That's the core message of the gospel. So no matter what your emotions are doing, up and down, all around, the powerful presence of Christ never changes. And so we don't have to be emotional experience chasers. Instead, we can say, Christ, you live in me all the time, 24/7, without interruption, and I'm going to put my faith in that truth no matter what I might feel. And I promise you, if you do that, if you put your faith in the constant presence and power of Jesus Christ indwelling you, then you are going to be able to overcome these storms of life where your emotions are saying the opposite, where your emotions are crying out and screaming. You can move forward stable, secure, and with the assurance that that presence of Christ within you is unshakable, unbreakable, and much needed through any storm.
Let me ask this one follow-up question. So, say a listener is tuned in and they're thinking, well, that happens in my church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I know there's something not right about it. And a matter of fact, when you sing that Holy Spirit come down, you're communicating an error. And if somebody believes that they have to call the Spirit down all the time in their lives, they're never going to experience freedom.
Absolutely.
They're never going to experience growth. Mm-hmm. So what do you tell, Joe, the listener, to do who's in that church? Does he go and talk to the pastor and say, hey, don't you realize this isn't right? Or do you go talk to the worship leader? Or, we took some of those songs and rewrote them to fit.
Yeah.
So what do you tell a person to do in a situation like that?
Well, in my experience, we've, in our church, in our congregation, we've rewritten a number of songs ourselves. We've tweaked this word, this phrase. But if you're a churchgoer and you're noticing that from stage there are things that are said that don't convey the truth about Christ's presence and his constant presence within us, then I think, in any healthy church atmosphere, you ought to be able to go up and have a cup of coffee with your worship leader or have 5 minutes of conversation after church service and just turn to them and make it about you and what you've appreciated about the gospel, what has ministered to you, what has helped you. So instead of saying, hey, I noticed you sang this and you said this and that's wrong and you shouldn't do that, instead say, hey, what means a lot to me is the reality that we don't have to really beg and plead and hope and wait for Christ to come visit us or for the Holy Spirit to rain down. When I learned that Christ lives in me permanently, that meant the world to me, and here's why. And just share that with them. And if you don't use the word you a lot and point fingers, then you possibly, I'm not saying it's always going to work out, but you're going to have a better chance of communicating what you really want to say from a heart of love about what you've learned and what you appreciate. And you know what? Someone who's really seeking truth, they'll either latch on to that or they'll think about it later. And that's all you can ask for.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think much of that applies to Christian music as well. You hear so many songs that the doctrine is just so poor. People are begging and pleading for God to pull them up and keep them from being knocked down and just beaten up every day in their lives. And, it's anything but victory in Christ. It truly is.
Yes, yes. And we just have to keep doing our thing of telling the story of Jesus, telling the fact that in his death, burial, and resurrection, he did for us what we could not do for ourselves. When that grace hits our hearts, we respond with faith, and that resurrected Jesus comes to live inside of us. And if Christians everywhere could truly understand that reality and embrace it, and not just look at it as a doctrine, but understand it as what is actually real right now. Christ, the resurrected Christ, that guy who lived 2,000 years ago, who was raised back to life, has sent his Spirit to take up residence in you. And if people would embrace that, it bends the mind, but it's just the most awesome reality that we can ever experience.
Absolutely. Well, friends, we hope you've enjoyed this edition of Basic Gospel, and of course this is a listener supported outreach, and we need your help to keep this New Covenant message going out over the air and online. If you can, please donate today or tonight. To go to basicgospel.net, click that big prominent donate link, and you can also call 844-322-2742. You can mail a check to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Louisville, Texas, 75057. You can can also give through the Basic Gospel app and through PayPal. Of course, Canadian listeners, please donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. And remember, 844-322-2742 is available overnight for your questions. Well, now for Bob, for Richard, for Andrew, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be back again tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.